So, last episode was a pretty good episode for Elkwood. Did you guys think he was going to get laid? And do you think he was going to get pegged?
Obviously. Pegging is is customary in Cantargo.
It's an elvish tradition.
It's a Cantargan elvish tradition.
Probably.
Those Cantargan elves. Real freaks.
I mean, it's the Silver Pillar city for a reason.
What's that Queen Gas saying? It's Kauai in the streets, Senpai in the sheets.
If anything, getting fucked by something so expensive just feels great.
They definitely went to the Cantargan Elven nightclub after the opera.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They did.
They did. Canonically.
Yeah.
They actually did. We went to listen to a bard. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Did a lot of coke.
Elvish coke.
Oh. Elvish coke. The best coke.
it's so refined. It just kind of... It will kill humans, all right.
The recipe was curated by one elf who's like 1,200 years old over his whole life. And the only thing he's done is make the perfect elven coke.
And his name's Pablo.
Can we do that? A Breaking Bad almost version of this, except it's based on just drug smuggling.
Just go breaking up.
High society elvish coke.
See, the thing is Pathfinder is such a great system. Yes, we can do that.
Yeah.
We
can't
do that. We have to grow.
He's like, Pathfinder is such a good system. You can have your drug trades, all right?
You can do that. That's a profession you can have. It's not a very good one, and you will probably die by the end of it.
You just have to have the imagination.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I have no idea what the other drugs are. I just know flay leaf is basically weed. And this...
Isn't there, like, pesh or something?
Yeah, there's pesh, which I think... Is that the orcish one, or is that...
That's the one that makes you ragey.
That's what it was, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know there's ketamine here. There's ketamine everywhere. Everywhere.
And oh yeah, and isn't there like a certain spider that some drug addicts use because the venom causes you to hallucinate?
What?
Yeah, there is a specific drug. I can't remember what it does, but it kind of like forces you to dream and stuff like that, but it's kind of messy in a situation, but it's a spider that its venom like puts you into like a stupor like that. So apparently God, I'm blanking on it. It's like something, but it's based with dream, like doing stuff with dreams, but not in a good way.
I googled spider use for drugs, and I'm just getting that video of the spider on different drugs when he's making webs, and it's really funny. Yeah, that one's funny though, because when he's on LSD, he makes like a really complicated one, but when they blow the weed smoke in his face, he doesn't make a very good one at all.
He makes a hammock and falls asleep in it.
Yeah, right.
they do coke and he sells his Kia Sorento.
One of the best drugs out there though is love, and I think that was a very successful date night for Elk. If any of you want to role play that, you let me know, and we'll go even farther. This podcast will become smut.
Careful what you ask for.
Mm-hmm. I'll do it.
Hey, Kezra.
We've only seen the end results of Kezra's debauchery.
That's right. Not even the beginning, just the end.
Just the end. All of us are in some long term relationships, and you know. But like, you guys have any like fun date stories, or when you went out to like the club dancing or something like that, and any fun stories around that? Because I got a few.
I'll go first because I'm probably the most boring.
Wow. Surprise.
Oh, God.
I might have you beat. I would say a fun date was the one that was hotly contested, whether or not it actually was a date.
Okay. Those are interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Errol and I, we went to a Korean bakery. And we were really just talking about our lives, and you know, I bought her some cake, and we shared some cake.
Cute.
and then to this day it was like, oh, we were just hanging out as friends, and it's like, no, this date. And that's really it. Like,
so right off the bat, there was a will they, won't they about you guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I see. I was really like Dario when I first met her, so I was just like, I mean, he should. Mm-hmm. I don't know about a will they, won't they, but they should. That was my opinion.
I mean, I think me and my wife's first dates where we were watching Breaking Bad in her family house, and everybody for some reason something to fucking do downstairs that day. Uh-huh. Pricks. But then we also went to see The Avengers Age of Ultron and were harassed by a homeless man in Annapolis. Yeah,
that sounds about right. Yeah,
that sounds correct.
And then I married her.
There you go. Yada, yada, yada. Then I married her.
Don't worry, that'll never happen again while I'm around.
I guess Jake's the only one with fun date stories. Kelly, you got any good ones?
Yeah, sort of. I remember when Rebecca and I started first dating, my favorite things to do was to, like, just go out after we got off at Annie's at, like, you know, close to midnight, and we'd get McDonald's, and then we would go to the... We'd go the Island Trail where the little bridge goes over the water, and we'd sit there and eat it.
Okay, why was the fact that they ate McDonald's the funny part there? I know, I'm very
Tim
confused.
Just like was like,
I think that's where Tim thought the story was ending. We look forward to going to, you know, McDonald's at 1 a.m.
You worked at Annie's, well, made at McDonald's, you pores.
But you know what, Tim?
I laugh at you.
Well, you know what, Tim? They're loving it. All right, they got it.
And they were loving each other.
Yeah,
see,
on that bridge.
This should have been a Valentine's Day episode.
So, sorry. Gotta think. There's a couple fun ones, but honestly, probably my favorite one was taking my girlfriend out to the Death Museum, which is the one in Philly, which is
nice.
It was a fun day because, like, we're both interested in the same macabre stuff. So
yeah.
You know, just going out there because she had no idea where we were going. I was like, "It's Philly." She goes, "Why Philly?" I was like, "I don't know, cheesesteaks." And
that's a good reason.
Death.
Yeah, and then I'm like, "Here we go." And then it was great because we got the walk through and see the hall of skull. Like, it's just a wall of skulls from, like, people that have been, like, donated from throughout history. So there's, like, stuff from, like, the 1600s skull, and some of them have a history that say, like, this person was executed on this date by hanging or something.
Oh geez.
Oh yeah. Like, and all the different fun, very gross aspects, and smells of formaldehyde in there, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I imagine there's an overarching smell in there.
But overall, it was a fun little date, because then afterwards, Texas Roadhouse.
Solid choice.
Yeah. Very solid choice.
Gosh. Okay. So, I've had a lot of girlfriends. I will say that there are two instances that I'm thinking of. Hannah and I would go to a lot of conventions together. This is before we had a kid, and we'd go to a whole bunch of cons, Comic-Con, Cat-Con. We went to a million of them. And so we loved going to the raves. Mm. And because we love, like, EDM music and the dancing and the music and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, those always stick out in my mind of, like, us just going together to the raves and just, like, dancing. And just, like, I love to dance. It's so much fun to go do that. And they always had a solid artists every single night there. In fact, the year we got engaged, my friend Sophie, her boyfriend was one of the DJs, and it was fucking awesome because he was good. Like, it wasn't just like regular techno or EDM or whatever. Like, he did like heavy shit. And so we were dancing, and then, like, my friend Sophie, who was maybe not, you know, all the way sober, she was like asking about us, and then I, like, show her Hannah's ring, and she was like, oh! It was just like that moment of just like her just being like, I'm so happy for you guys, and like hugging us.
It's just, bro, like, you brought it to the rave.
What, the
ring?
She had it on her hand.
Oh, she was already, you already engaged at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought
yeah,
you were saying that, like, you know how, like, people, like, carried the ring around before they proposed?
Oh, no, no.
I thought you just, like, had it in your pocket, like, bro, I'd be so afraid of losing that.
No, I proposed on the dance floor. There was glow sticks flying all over the place. Darude Sandstorm was playing. I mean.
But there was a hole in my trip pants in the box below.
Oh, you better have wore trip pants.
Actually. I know you did. I was there a couple times.
Glow sticks all up my arm and stuff like that.
The E was wearing off. My God.
I do have a slight amendment. I for whatever reason, I couldn't remember any of the dates today that I had been on because, like, you know, it's like, ah, I can't remember anything. But we saw Fall Out Boy. That was pretty fun.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like dementia's coming to you, Laura. Right, Tim?
Oh, no. I'm. What do you mean, coming? It has already came.
It is here.
I remember things back in the 80s. That's it.
Children make you just learn, lose your memories.
You know, a new report came out about how parents these days are more stressed than their predecessors.
No shit.
Wow, I wonder why. Shit.
It also comes out that they don't have any fucking money.
That's also true.
Wow, the correlation is right there. I wonder if it's causing.
It's whatever, right in front of our faces, but we'll never find a solution for it. Well, Elkwood had a night he would never forget.
It was fantastic.
But you guys have a mission ahead of you. So do what you got to do to wrap up whatever you need to do before leaving. But I want to get you guys on the road. You guys have a 2-day journey, I believe. And maybe it's like 1.5. I know you guys have horses. I'll have to see how. I think it's a 2-day journey. You guys have a 2-day journey ahead of you. So is there anything you guys want to do last step before you guys actually go?
Yes, yes, yes. I was listening to the most recent episode of the Dragon Punch Squad podcast, and I realized that you dropped the name of the previous owners of the mine. And you're like, yeah, you should talk to them to, you know, see what was up with that. And they were like, yeah, 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 we'll totally do that. No. And then we was just like, we have our own stuff to do. Kelly's like, I got to retrain some spells.
Well, you know, it must be the kids. So you know that the owners of the mine, they're no longer,
rest their souls.
The quarry itself is no longer functioning. So right. it's literally just a giant empty hole. But you know that Canton Jaltaro is the guy's name, and so you know that he's sort of just like the mayor of the town that's outside of it. So he employed people, but they don't do that anymore. So now he just sort of is in charge of a town. So that's sort of the background behind him. Larry Longwords would have filled you in if you didn't know anyway. As far as everyone knows, he's just in charge of the town, and then the quarry just isn't in use anymore.
Okay, so that's a contact that we'll reach out to when we arrive at the town.
Yes.
Okay, for some reason, I was under the impression he was in Kintargar, and I was like, wait, we can't leave yet.
Nope. He's at White Rock. Oh my god, am I forgetting the name of the place you're going to right now?
That was going to be my question. I couldn't remember where we're actually going.
It's called White Rock. Yes, White Rock. It's a 2-day journey south to White Rock, and then it's another 3-day journey west, to the quarry.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You guys have quite the trip ahead of you. But that's why Larry Longrose also told you to go there first, because if something is happening there, he might be the one to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her concern, too, was that Canton Jaltaro was a great guy. He was a respectable business owner. Now he's mayor of the small town and stuff like that. So, like, her concern was that he got muscled into something by the Scarlet Triad. Mm. And you know that they've done that before with the imports.
Yep, Sunset Imports.
Yeah, with Sunset Imports. So
poor lady.
You think you're selling to Amazon, and all of a sudden your quarry's a slave pit?
Just happens.
Just happens. All right.
As long as we got Benson's sword and Grimshaw's armor.
That's it. That's all you need. Elk and Kisser who?
Yeah, right. I was saying I'm ready to go if we have those things.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we...
By the way, I still need suggestions on the name for this sword.
Get in the comments.
Get in the comments. Or just yell it at me if you see him in the street.
Yeah.
All right. See.
Coach Hansberg just start yelling names at him.
I mean that could be like a, you know, a little road conversation, like, God, hey, what would you name this blade, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe it is more a journey of self-discovery. I mean, maybe you just never roll well and you could just call this the God cursed sword.
You can call it stick.
Well, stick.
Well, right now it's a +2, right?
Yeah, you could call it Grimshaw.
Oh,
oh wow.
Never hits, fighting words.
Oh.
Oh, I felt that so deep my soul.
That's a good one.
You know, I was trying to think of any of the other characters that haven't rolled very well. It was just that Grimshaw was the only one I could think of.
Only Grimshaw. I mean, Adelar was always putting up numbers, you know?
Yeah.
Because when you heal, you just heal.
I mean, yeah.
You get to see the numbers go up on the screen. You're like, yeah, I'm fucking doing something.
A listener of the pod sent me a meme after we were in the Citadel Alterine for a while.
Yeah.
And it was that meme. It's like every time Adelar rolls a divine lance, it's like, I fired and I missed and then I fired and I missed. And I fired and then I fired and I missed both times.
He was probably missed divine lances.
There was a reason why.
Out, yeah, we found out you couldn't even do it.
That was based on alignment damage. But now that the new rules have come out, I could divine lance everybody.
Nice.
Well, he could.
Could have.
Well, let's get you guys on the road. You guys have horses, right? So
Benson
has all the horses. You other guys can walk. Benson is a whole day's worth ahead of you on the road. So you guys are on the road south to White Rock. Is there anything that you guys want to roll knowledge-wise? Larry Longrose told you about Canton Jaltaro, so the owner. But you know, is there anything that you guys want to do while you're on the road?
I guess I'll do a society check on him.
Okay, all right.
See if Benson randomly knows stuff about him.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe your family sourced iron from the quarry at one point or something.
It's a salt quarry, but
maybe nope. They sourced the finest salt for their banquet tables.
Nope.
Is it? No. Okay.
Wait, it's a salt quarry? So that means we're just gonna walk in there and stuff's gonna start blowing up?
I don't like that smile, Jake. I don't like that look.
What? Okay, let me get ahead of some things, okay? Because I listened to the episodes, all right? Because I always like to try and improve my craft. But it's also because I have a terrible memory. And one of the things is we talked about the ritual that we got imprisonment.
Yes.
And we're like, oh, that's terrible foreshadowing. And then before we leave, we're like, oh, we're so glad that the spirit of Barzlai Throon isn't showing up anymore. And it's like, we killed all the Rakshasas. And then John's like, right, Jake? And Jake doesn't say anything. So my theory, I'm just putting it out there right now, is that we're going to get back to the quarry. The spirit of Barzlai Throon is going to rise up in the city. We're going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to get the Silver Ravens from wherever they are, because they're somewhere. We're going to have to go deep in the Underdark, get the Silver Ravens, bring them back, and we're going to have to perform this ritual to seal away the spirit of Barzlai Throon, imprison it once and for all. No. That is my theory.
And then Elkwood will finally get laid.
True. That's the final stage, but isn't that ritual a level 8 ritual or something?
Yeah, and the Silver Ravens, they've been around for a long time, so they're going to be high level. We're just going to be poor little
soldiers. Like, oh, they're all level 7 or something.
I think Hell's Rebels was a full adventure pass, so yeah, they're up there.
Exactly, yeah.
So that is a great theory. That's a really cool idea. So anyway, you guys are on the road. Eventually, you guys you get to a certain point about halfway through the second day on your way to White Rock, and you know that you'll be able to get there in the middle. Well, no, actually, it would be No, so then as you're settling down for the first night, because you guys are on horses, so mm-hmm. let me kind of shift this around a bit. So at the end of the first day, when you guys are like, we should camp here and stuff like that, you guys come to a roadside shrine. Let me go ahead and activate the map.
Oh, no. Hey, there's Vimir.
Yay. Yeah,
so I put Vimir way off to the side.
Oh, God, we're outside again.
Yes, yes, yeah. I imagine you're feeling a bit better now that you're outside of the city. So on this little space that you guys are in, it's a tiny shrine that's maybe like 3 feet high and like 2 feet wide. It's extremely small. Anyone with a little bit of religion knowledge would know that this is a shrine of Erasmus.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's got some, you know, pretty... there's usually just small shrines of him. He blesses travelers and stuff like that. You know, the common guy. You actually feel that this is, like, an area where people would sleep, because you see, like, kind of marks of where tent pegs are put in and stuff like that. So you feel pretty confident sleeping here. Go ahead and make me some rolls if you guys want to start setting up for camp here. You guys know that you'll be able to get to White Rock in the middle of next day.
Okay. So this map looks a little familiar.
Yeah, it does.
Does it?
Does it?
Yeah. From episode, what was it, the three-part 100?
Nope, not that one.
But it is, though, because I remember doing something on it that was very... Nope.
Okay.
Just use this one.
Okay.
Just now.
Okay. Survival check, you said?
Yeah. So it'll be a survival check to set something up. And then can kind of tell me what everybody's doing while people are setting up camp or, you know, getting ready to settle down for the night.
Benson is going to be tending the horses mostly, and then he will begin gathering wood for a fire, trusting the tent to probably elk, because obviously... Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And I rolled a natural 20.
Cool. Okay. Damn. You find a bundle of wild carrots. They're really good carrots. So you give these to the horses, and they're really appreciating you and your riding skill. You know, as a champion and stuff like that. You know, you know how to do this stuff pretty well. Do I have a? I don't have a token. Well, I have a token. Just doesn't have the art for it. So let me people some horses down.
Gotcha.
I think
what are those?
No, I know they have a goblin token, but that's just the default.
Grimshaw would probably be helping Benson out, because he's lived on the road, but his survival skill is untrained. He's got a decent plus to it, but it's like, you know, he's not making comfortable arrangements, so he's kind of helping Benson out. And just, you know, Benson stumbles across the carrots, feeding them to the horses. Grimshaw's kind of inspecting the steeds. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Benson, I really appreciate you acquiring these horses for us. These look like battle horses that won't run away when combat starts. That's pretty good. I'm glad you had the foresight in getting the upgrade.
Yes, well, having a well-trained horse is almost as important as having a well-trained soldier.
There's abject fear in these horses' eyes.
I was about to say, I didn't remember
they're
buying.
They're looking around, just like...
regular riding horses. Doesn't even say here, hold on.
You can get different types of horses. You can get a regular riding horse, which does flee at danger, or you can get a battle horse, like a war horse or something, which
what
does
is that, a
not...
dragon? I'm not scared.
Yeah, really.
Which does not flee at danger.
So. I remember in D&D 3.5, if you got a horse, if you got a regular riding horse, it would run away. Yeah. If you got a battle horse, obviously it wouldn't. If you got a donkey, it wouldn't.
Yes.
Donkey so stubborn. Fuck.
Yeah, you just get a donkey because he's...
Yeah, everyone got donkeys.
The donkey, if it dies today, it's like, yep, well, that was my life.
Well,
dinner. Yeah.
Well, there's only one donkey that matters. And that... Wait, was... Oh, that was Bill the Pony.
Bill, I was about to say, he's a pony.
Yeah,
he's a pony. I was just thinking that. I was like, pony.
No. Bill was a pony. Okay. So, Kizer, what are you doing while they are doing all that?
So, because I took untrained improvisation, I actually do have some survival now. So Kizer's gonna forage and look for firewood and shit.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So. We're all going to come back to campsite with a bunch of firewood.
We did split the duties, alright.
Wait. Did we all get the
We're
firewood?
Not building a campfire, we're building, like,
a pallet fire.
We're building a pallet fire, like a redneck pallet fire.
Yeah, the redneck pallet fire.
So we're going to blow some shit up tonight, shoot some shotguns.
It's like, I found this dried up Christmas tree, let me clear this in there real fast.
That's all of a sudden, a forest warden comes out. It's like, you can't have fires more than 15 feet high. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I throw a bottle of Jim Beam at him.
It's epic.
Of course.
Got the Jim Beam with the boys. Got the bonfire rising high.
Oh, God.
All right.
Elk was, he would go hunt. Because why not? And that was a 19 on die for a 33.
You find a what would be something good around here? It's pretty temperate. A deer would be pretty good. Maybe you find like a beaver or something like that. You know. Okay. All right. So you guys are off doing your things. When you come back and you know you got like a fire cooking and stuff like that. Up on top of the hill here, you see there's a hill that crest upwards in this on this map here. There's some bushes up there, and there's some pretty heavy trees, lots of vegetation and stuff like that. And all of you, almost at once, start to hear some very weird noises. You hear like a It is bizarre what you're hearing, and it sounds like nothing consistent, bunch of weird, kooky, strange mix of, like, all these different kinds of noises, and it starts to get louder, and you all of a sudden start to hear two large sets of footprints come, and... And the noises continue to get louder as these two things start coming towards you. And all of a sudden...
I was going to put my money on Two-Arm Vorax's fucking...
Ooh, you are a little close. You see two of... let me get to the creature.
I know how you're like, this is a perfect place to, you know, camp and stuff. But now I'm looking at that cliff, I'm like, man, I would not be wanting to... camp next to something like that, just like especially in this world, because they would have the high ground.
This creature,
what the hell is that?
Comes stumbling down the hill. Two of them, in fact,
like a cassowary. Oh my god,
they look
like a bird with facial hair.
They look like cassowaries. They're medium-sized birds, okay, and they're screaming and shouting these obnoxious and irritating noises. And when they come stumbling down, one of them mounts the other one.
So I wasn't far off.
No, that's what I was saying. You were not far off.
What?
As they both notice you...
Oh.
They scream...
Wah! Wah! Wah!
I would like everybody to roll initiative.
Great. okay.
Do I
now
add...
I know why you were talking about dates in the beginning.
You're interrupting somebody's dating...
all right, let me get these things in. All right, going around the table, Kezra.
Back to my old rolls. I got a 22.
good to be here. Grimshaw, what'd you get?
Kelly, last episode, my perception up, so I'll be doing better in initiative.
Yep.
And per usual, I rolled incredible. So that's a 33.
All right.
Morning, Finnaby.
I got a magic cape. Make me go fuck you, boo.
Elkwood.
Let's see. I did perception this because I feel like there'd be no reason to do stealth, but that would be a 33 for perception.
33!
I go first.
Yes, you go first. And Serpentimuck.
I rolled a 16, so 31.
31.
I think Benson was like, I could use intimidation here, but I'm very confused as to what the fuck is actually happening. He's just standing there with, like, straight face, like, what the fuck?
I think that's what everyone is right now. They're just like, wait, what the hell are these things?
Do we interrupt? Oh, they're fighting us. Okay. So
Vamir, just eat these things, please.
These two large birds, they're large four birds. They're medium-sized. These two medium-sized birds stand up after their lovemaking in front of you. And the first one rolled a 41 on initiative?
Shit. Ooh.
Crazy.
Okay.
Does something where it sticks its neck up into the air and it starts going... I need, let's see, everybody within what's that range? 120 foot emanation?
Oh my god.
Need everybody to make a will save.
Oh shit.
Oof.
Oh no, a will save.
Oh, no.
I'm so scared.
That's not good.
I don't know what's happening with Foundry, but I can't actually find my character sheet, pull my character sheet up for some reason. I'm gonna probably just reload it. I'm pretty sure I'm good.
Okay. Well, let's go around. John, when would you get there?
It was a natural 18 on the die, so seeing as if I make a success on a will save, it's a crit success, so I'm pretty sure I'm good.
Okay. So you are unaffected by this. Timmy, what did you get?
35.
35. That is a success. You are unaffected. Kezra.
20.
20?
20.
Okay. Kezra, you are confused for one round.
Oh boy.
And you immediately attack yourself.
Oh, man.
As that is a critical failure.
Yeah.
So immediately attack yourself.
Yes. Also, I'll say this because it's going to be an extra bit of salt in the wound. The strike doesn't give the creature a flat check to recover from confusion.
Yeah, that makes...
Ooh, oh, that's so annoying.
That kind of makes sense, yeah. Though.
So please attack yourself.
Alrighty. My new fancy, awesome fire dragon claw. I think I just hit.
So it's by the rules of confusion. So wait, let me pull it up real quick. Like, use all your actions to strike or cast defensive cantrips. Blah blah blah. Oh, if you have no other viable targets, you target yourself, automatically hitting but not scoring a critical hit. Just deal regular damage to yourself.
Gotcha. No, rolled really poorly. Only 11 damage.
Okay, so you see Kezra as this like noise is like going into your ears. All of a sudden, he like strikes his own ear, and you can see that there's like blood like pouring out of his bald head.
Yeesh.
And Elkwood, what'd you get?
I beat you, Kezra, in terribleness. 19.
That
was a natural 2.
That's a critical fail as well. You were confused for one round and immediately attacked yourself. So just do whatever damage you would have.
I mean, I didn't have a weapon out.
Shoot
right,
arrow
exactly.
Straight up.
Yeah, hey, I don't play lawn darts here. Okay, hold on. So I just use my fist, I guess.
Yeah. So it should
God,
just be what?
That still hits. That still hurts. 7 damage.
Seven. Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. No. It's a 1d4 plus 6. So I mean.
Oh God.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I hit hard. I wasn't hunting right. Prey on myself.
Fair enough. So that was the one on the left.
Oh. Wait. Sorry. Vamir has to.
Oh yes.
Sorry. Vamir's back in the game, and his will save I think is better than mine actually. So.
Oh.
I'm not joking. Yeah, his will is plus 19. Mine's a plus 17.
That's so interesting.
Huh. Yeah, so oh, of course, and he gets a 35.
Oh. so that is a success. He's unaffected.
He's like, what the fuck?
The horses all fail and begin thrashing about. So that is that creature's turn for two actions. Let's see, what else can it do? I think it is going to
pull out a cigarette.
I think it sees Elkwood confused, and I think it's going to... Actually, no, it's going to wait right there. It's going to wait right there. The other one, this one is the male, so the one on the right here. He is going to do something interesting where... it's going to move up. And it's going to try and attack Elkwood here.
Oh, boy.
But what it's going to try to do, it's going to try to do, like, a shove. So it's going to go up, and it's just going to try to bully Elk. So it needs to make an athletics check, which is going to be... you know what? I'm going to use physical dice.
Yes, beat my fortitude, right?
Yeah, you gotta beat your fortitude. I don't think it's gonna do that with a 29.
Nope.
Okay.
Beat a 32, baby.
Okay. Then in which case, it's just going to try and stab out with its beak. That is gonna be... Goodness gracious. It's gonna be a 36.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay. And then some good damage here, I'm seeing.
Fuck are these things? They're like cassowaries in real life. They kill you.
Yeah, that's kind of their deal. D12s. I like these. So that is going to be... there's going to be 21 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And that is going to be the end of that creature's turn. Grimshaw, it is your turn now.
Hmm? Doesn't Elkwood go first?
Oh, yeah, Elkwood would go first. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have a feat for this. Oh, God!
And it's interesting that it put Grimshaw ahead, maybe just because of when I entered them? I don't know. Maybe. Anyway. Okay.
And you also get a free check because you got hit to break out of shake out of confusion.
Yeah, technically. Yep. So, mm-hmm. Just a will save, right?
Yep.
Oh my god, 23.
23, that is a fail.
Well,
spend the round confused.
No, wait, isn't it just a flat check on the... on that?
That's a good question, I don't know.
Kelly?
Each time you take damage from an attacker spell, attempt a DC 11 flat check to recover from your confusion and the condition.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's literally the last line of confusion.
I wasn't looking it up, so...
I just got you, because I remembered something about that. I was like, wait a minute, it's easier than that.
So what'd you roll then, Mark?
I'm trying to roll on Foundry, but nothing's coming up. Okay, weird. And... I don't know. What am I rolling at this point? That's a 14.
Okay. All right. So you are not confused.
I'm just stabbed. I'm like, what the?
Hey, stop that!
You old bastard! So he wakes up them from the confusion. He's arguably, for a moment, like dazed. Uh-huh. Gets wounded. Is like, oh, okay, threat. Got it. Elvish step here. With one step, hunt prey on this. And quick draws out the curved blade and just brings it down. Oh, wait, sorry. Why am I using a curved blade when I got the Bam Bam stick?
Yes, the Bam Bam stick meta for Elkwood.
Yes. So the Bam Bam stick goes, brings it down. Oh my god, fucking natural 20.
There you go.
Wonderful. Subarashi.
Poor birds. Like, they didn't deserve this.
They attack me.
I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree.
I know they could have slowed down. They could have tried to parlay with us. I was going to give them some of the deer, you know.
We were just in their loving spot.
Yeah.
Well, too bad.
But why would they
next
be
next to a public road?
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. A frequented campsite is like, yes, hey, this is our spot.
There's no bad place for lovemaking.
No,
these
no kink
okay.
shaping. No,
okay.
Kink shaming.
All right, Kelly, what's the thing here?
Was it kink shaming is my kink.
Sapping slash. The target is fatigued.
A slashing, or...
Yes. So, yeah, he was using the club.
Oh, sorry, you were using
yeah,
the stick.
Yeah, I'm using Bam Bam.
What was Bam Bam. That, then? You can't reach the other one, so this one doesn't matter for you. It was 2-for-1. Deal normal damage to one target adjacent to the original target.
Oh. Gotcha. Okay.
So just double damage.
I mean, double damage works fine. That is yep. 46 points of damage. And this thing with the Great Club, I believe, oh. gets... What is it? You knocked a disc target away. Oh, crap. Force movement. Shit.
So what? It would move?
Yeah, I would basically force it away. But like, okay. I can control it, I guess. So I'm basically going to move it 2 squares up to Vimir, like okay. next to him.
All right, so it's right next to Vimir now.
Yeah, so I moved, hunt prey, attacked, and now Vimir is going to be like, oh my god, I'm actually doing something. let's do an attack here.
Finally, food.
Live food? What?
It's fresh.
All right. Plus 18 to hit. That is a 30 to hit.
A 30 to hit this thing. That is a miss.
Shoo. All right.
Whoa. So Vimir goes to stab down in some way, and the thing just goes wah! And just dodges.
So you get back here, you little bastard.
do you guys remember the bird from Up?
Yep.
Imagine that if it was just an asshole.
Mm, wonderful. So that
wasn't. That's exactly the bird I was imagining this whole time.
Yeah. When I saw this thing, I was just like, "This is gonna be so funny."
Right. So that was his first hit. So he's gonna attack again.
Okay.
And that was a 32 this time. That was a nice roll. 19.
32,
or
you say? Miss.
Really? Holy shit.
These things are hard to hit.
They're wily.
They're wily.
Yes, they are wily.
They got Roadrunner physics. We're fucked.
All right. Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Grimshaw utters a word of freedom to Kezra. Clarity. And your confusion is gone.
Oh, neat. I didn't know you could do that.
Yep. You utter a liberating word of power that frees a creature. So I can suppress a condition, and I can choose confused. I suppress it for one round. And since the confusion is only for one round,
there it
is gone.
There it is.
Nice.
All right, cool.
So there goes a focus point.
All right.
And I have 2 actions left. And I'm going to... run up. Let's see how many feet of movement I have, actually, because I might at the risk. No, I can't get that far. I'm slow. I likely would have cast a long strider wand at the beginning of the day because I have gotcha. Trick magic item now, so it's worn yeah. off. So I'm just going to walk up to the one that is closest, which is the female that went the.
All right, and you're going to hit it in the face with your hand?
I have picked up my morning star, and I am ready.
All right.
And I have no shield, just my morning star.
Got it.
And just so you know, I had not bent down, so my armor is still on.
Yeah, I was allowing that.
Okay, again. Thank you.
Sir Benson.
Sir Benson will draw his shield and sword. I guess that's 2 actions.
Shwink. Yep.
And I will move just up to here because that's really all I'm going to get.
Okay.
And I will swing. By the way, when Benson rips the sword out of his sheath, it is a. I believe it's described as a very dark black metal.
Yep. Okay. Okay.
Adamantine.
Yeah, yeah.
Or grayish. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
gun metal.
It's a very beautiful looking blade. The hilt and handle look like they are forged of melted and hammered together nails.
Oh, ooh, I like that. Cool. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think adamantium was described as like a grayish black. It wasn't like obsidian.
Yeah. But yeah.
And with a shiny rune at the hilt as well.
It was two actions to pull out each of your weapons and then move, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, can't do that.
You could have just pulled out the sword and double-handed that thing and just forgotten the shield.
Jake?
I mean, that's up to you, bud. You haven't rolled or ended your turn,
I've been telling
you
need to do that.
You gotta cut this thing's head off.
Okay, maybe we're just... 35.
35. That would be a hit, however...
Aw.
This thing has something called hop dodge. So it jumps in the air, clearing the sword strike that you just made at it. So the creature is the target of a melee strike and is adjacent to another enemy that is also within reach of the melee strike. The creature nimbly hops aside, redirecting the triggering strike against the adjacent enemy.
Oh my god.
What?
The creature strides up to half its speed, and this movement does not trigger reactions.
What?
So it moves 10 feet this way, and Grimshaw, what's your AC?
32.
So that is a hit?
What? Holy shit.
That's a BS.
I love this. I love this bird so much. Does Kelly still feel bad for this bird?
I mean, from my vantage point, it just looks like Benson's really stupid.
Benson is right there.
What is best sword again? 2d8 plus what?
No, it's 2d12 because you're two-handing it.
2d12.
Oh yeah, because you're two-handing it. Yeah, so it's 2d12 plus whatever your strength is.
And Vorpal.
I love this game. I'm so happy right now.
It should be like 2d12 plus 6.
Well, I 1 and a 5, so 12.
Yeah,
I love it when monsters are specifically created so that players don't have fun.
Benson, what are you doing?
You made me do this.
I'm sorry, we're teleported to the fucking Benny Hill universe. I don't know.
Kezra, it's your turn.
Alright.
Drop a fireball.
Cook these birds.
Jump over this, you pricks.
Kezra is going to... he gets, like, large and imposing, like, huge shadow, and he's like, flee! As he casts fear on these things.
Oh, so
roll
some
will saves.
Alright. We'll do that. Well, not their strong suit, but... a 24 on the female.
Fail.
Okay. And a... 30 total on the male.
Success. So the male is frightened 1, and the female is frightened 2.
Okay. Let me find... There it is. Frightened and... frightened 2 on the female. Okay. Alrighty then.
And yeah, that will be... Yeah, okay. I'll cast shield. So I end my
shield.
Turn.
Okay. Right. So the first one. So this is the one that it is. I believe the the female went first. So she is going to do her warbling song again. Everybody, please make me a will save again.
Wait, I'm not like permanently unaffected, right?
Nope. Tell me when you get a crit success. We'll talk.
No, I did get a crit success.
You got a crit success on the first time.
Yeah,
because a success turned into a crit success because of my divine will.
I got the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Then yeah. So yeah, if you get a crit success, the target is unaffected and temporarily immune for 1 minute.
Thank goodness. Good one. Remembering that, Tim.
All right. I got a 34.
34, that is a success. You are unaffected.
Vamir got a 33, and Elk got a 31.
So Elkwood is the only one that failed.
Damn it.
So you are confused for 1 round.
Damn it.
Additionally, can't do what it wants to do. Okay.
Does he have to club himself, or was that only the first time?
That's only on a crit fail.
Yeah, that was only on a crit fail. In which case, the creature is going to use its last action to run behind the mail. Okay. It is the male's turn.
Did you reduce the DC for that thing by 2 because it was frightened?
Then it would just be a regular 6. Then it would have been a 6.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
All right, so that's fine. It would still move, so Elkwood is still unaffected. But
Kezra has a line. Ready
Kezra
to
does have a Kezra does have a line. She moved. All right, so now it's the male's turn. The male is also going to do its warbling song.
So he's got minus 1.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So DC lower by 1 because of fright.
So we both have to roll again.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Benson, it kind of has a nice sound to it once you get used to it.
Shut the fuck up!
Dancing paladins.
God damn.
I got a 23.
That is a fail. You were confused for one round.
Of course, Famir gets a 33, and Elk gets a 23.
Okay, so that is going to be a fail for the both of you. So you're both confused for one round. And then this creature, is Famir on the ground right there next to
I would
the...
assume so.
Okay. I think it's just going to try to reach out and attack Famir.
Their attack, it's better.
He's just attacking random things. So it warbles, and that is... attacks.
Okay.
That is going to be 38.
Not a crit.
Impressive, actually.
Yeah, well, he has barding now, so.
Yeah. Armored bird.
He has an armored bird.
All right, that is going to be 22 points of piercing damage.
Right.
Can't wait to see if these things make good soup.
Yeah, right.
They're big meaty birds, so I would think so.
I think like their picture makes them look kind of sickly at the same time.
Yeah, but they're medium, so they're very big birds.
Yeah. It's just like that their picture makes them look kind of look like the pale coloration.
Yeah.
I mean, I first thought they were undead for some weird reason. I was like,
that's fair.
Sickly,
yeah, that's fair.
Gross.
So they're basically just we're fighting emus.
Yeah. Cassowary. That's what I'm saying.
They're the up, yeah. The up dinosaur creatures, the up birds.
Exactly. I hate them. All right, and that was the end of its turn. Elkwood, it is your turn.
Confused.
You are confused.
So I got.
Use all your actions to strike or cast offensive cantrips. So the GM can have you use other actions to facilitate the attack. That's all you do anyway. Such as draw a weapon, move target, move so target is in reach, and so forth. Let's go ahead. Target. You got a 50-50 chance here on the two closest target. Well, no, you got a
30% chance. Targets too.
Yeah, but they're 10 feet away.
Benson.
Vamir, Benson, and Grimshaw are close, are all same equal distance. All right, so go ahead and roll me a percentile die, and it's just 33% for each.
Percentiles.
Percentiles.
I have to get a
What is this, World of Darkness?
Yeah, seriously. Let me get my D100, because I've never used one before, apparently.
Look at all the dust on this die.
I've never really used a D100, so that is that. I just need an RD10, right? That's how that works.
Yep.
I miss Jake's big D100.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it right here, baby.
Yep.
So cool.
Pretty much a ball.
68.
68, so that will be Benson.
No!
So
the one I didn't want to hit.
So, move up and attack Benson. Yeah, because it says use all your actions to strike your cast defensive ability. So go attack, Benson.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Actually, I'm confused, so I can't even say that.
He really didn't like the song about Benson. He really didn't like it.
I thought he was arrogant. It was pretentious. So, yeah, he's going to swing. It's fine. It's a 24 to hit. That was a natural 4.
That's funny. It's really funny.
It's just swinging this giant freaking club. And that was one action. So one action move and then there. So another action. Oh, you're lucky I'm just rolling garbage tonight. So that's a 17 to hit.
It's like a 4-year-old swinging a wiffle ball bat at his dad.
Yep. Pretty much.
Elk, stop.
And the dad's also wearing full plate armor.
So, at this point, Vamir, he can still attack. So.
Oh, yeah, because he gets one action, right?
Yeah.
As a. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, hit roll higher than a 30. Fucking. What was it? 2 that I. No. Not going to. That's a
nope.
30.
Okay. All right. That was the end of your turn.
Not confused, right?
Grimshaw.
What? Not confused anymore?
Yes. You're only confused for one round.
Sweet.
When it happens.
Grimshaw utters another word of clarity to Kezra. We need your magic. Be free. And not confused.
Oh, can't do that many more times.
Morningstar is out, though.
Yes.
Shield is not. I have 2 actions, so I'm going to move into flanking with Vamir.
All right.
And last action, strike out with the souped-up Morningstar Amalani. And that was a cracked die. And that was not a cracked eye. And that is a 34.
All right, that is a miss.
Even though I'm flanking.
Because you're flanking, that is a hit.
That's
let me make sure here.
Oh, that's a stupid ability.
Yeah, the hop dodge.
Oh my god.
The creature is the target of a melee strike and is adjacent to another enemy that is also within reach of the melee strike. So no. So because Benson is adjacent to you, but he's not adjacent to the creature. So so you do get this hit off. Okay.
All right. So we can't surround this thing.
You find that inadvisable.
Flanking is a very bad idea.
17 points of piercing damage.
All right. You are chunking this male bird down a bit.
Just need to kill the male, the female will flee.
Okay. Anything else on your turn?
Roast the birds, Kezra! Roast them! Roast them!
That's it.
Benson.
I ate their liver with fava beans and a nice Chianti. Okay, Benson's going to move up here.
All right.
Because he realizes flanking's a dumb move. And he is going to swing. Still 2 handing, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, so Benson goes to attack the female because we don't want to be adjacent to each other and adjacent to the creature. Because they're just going to hop out of the way.
Yep.
That will be a 36.
That is going to be a hit.
Yes. Thank God. That is going to be 22 points of damage.
Damn. 22?
21. Sorry. I'm not math well.
I'll give it 1 hit point back. Okay.
And I guess I'll swing again.
Okay.
Do.
D12s make a difference.
Nope. Miss.
Okay. Alright, and then Kezra.
Alright. How close am I? Alright. I'm actually. I think I'm close enough. Alright, so Kezra is going to move up to here. So he's in better sight of these two things.
Okay, so you're a little bit east. So you're still behind the two champions, but you're a ways back. Yeah.
I'm set up perfectly.
Yeah.
And one of my new spells is a Blazing Bolt. As Kezra holds out both hands. And just 2 beams of fire shoot out of his hands.
Whoa.
And I roll against their ACs.
and roll hot garbage on both rolls. And a 7 on the dice.
Oh, jeez.
So 26 and a 25.
Yep, those are both misses.
Cool!
These things are genuinely very hard to hit.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not gonna hit with that roll.
I rolled a 16, and I'm pretty sure I just hit it.
You shoot these two things out, and they go and tilt its head.
Damn it.
All right. Okay. Next, it comes to the female is going to run next to her mate.
Oh no.
And then she's going to do her warbling song again.
Oh my god, these guys.
You see their tactics.
They're not.
they are that, yeah. So it is, it's right next to its mate, but as it runs away and it hops over, or hops like in between Vamir and the male, it's warbling the whole way.
Because we got a 29.
That is going to be a fail.
I swear to God, Vamir, you keep taking my good rolls. Vamir got a 34. And,
yep.
And Elka did 29.
Okay, so that is going to be a fail.
We both rolled 23s last time.
I know. It's strange.
Okay, so that was her turn. And then, let's see. I think the male, I think he's just going to go ham on Grimshaw here.
Wait, why are you going ham? Should you be going chicken?
Going bird. Going poultry.
You're going so poultry foul. You're so foul.
Alright, so first attack. Since it can't do... Yeah, it can't do much else here. Okay. First attack is going to be natural 20.
Of course.
Alrighty. Is it piercing?
Yes, this is piercing. This is the beak.
Great. Punctured lung.
Oh, no.
That's a good one.
Is suffocating until subject to magical healing.
That's a horrible one.
So
oh,
it
my
stabs
God.
You through the chest, through your ribs, with its beak.
And this is how,
suffocating.
This is how Grimshaw dies.
Episodes ago, we killed an ice devil.
An episode or two ago.
Compared to these horny birds.
The episode title, A Murder Most Foul. Or how about the gang gets kicked in the dick for an hour?
Alright, so that's going to be... Oh my gosh. 11 plus that. Times 2. And then Deadly D12 says the weapon adds a weapon damage die of the list of size. Roll this after doubling the weapon. Okay, so yeah. I just get an additional D12. For 12, max. Awesome. That's 58 points of damage.
My god.
Hey, Benson, did you want to activate any of abilities right now?
Yeah. Oh, retributive strike.
So I can at least get the damage reduction, which I think is 13 off.
Yep.
So you said 58, so only 45.
Yeah, take that, Jake. We just got cool new abilities, and I can't get in range to use it.
Right, because if we get in range, then it just hops out of the way, we kill our teammates.
It was the perfect encounter. I'm so glad I thought of it.
All right. Jake googled on the Reddit forums how to screw two champions in a fight. Enter.
You know, I went to various Discord and Reddit servers, and I was like, "There's two champions in my party. How do I fucking kill them?"
First.
That's all the comments. That's all the comments were. It was really weird. All right, second attack. It's going to be a 2 on the die, so a miss.
All right. Whew.
And then a 3 on the die for the last attack. So you were spared with the last two. All right, Elkwood, it is your turn.
I'm confused.
You are confused.
All right, so roll, I guess, percentage die.
Yeah.
Wait, closest
so...
target is the female.
True.
So it just hits a target.
It's so true. It's so true. Though the GM can have you use other actions to facilitate the attacks. It's a throw weapon.
Exactly. Facilitate the attack. Actions
to strike or cast offensive cantrips. Mm-hmm. You know what? Roll me a percentile again. I'm going to do this. It's a 33%. Because there's the one directly in front of you, and then there's the two that are next to him. So if you roll in the middle again, you get to use all three of your attacks on the
47.
40. Okay, yeah, that's in the middle. Right. Okay, so yeah, use all your attacks on the male.
Oh yeah, just so your targets are determined randomly by the GM. That's what it says.
Isn't the female the one that's closer to me though?
Oh yeah, the female.
Keeping your creatures straight here.
Sorry.
All right,
they are straight.
There they are.
They sure are. Let me take away the frightened, because her turn did pass, so her AC is back up. Okay.
Oh, darn. Okay, so she's no longer frightened. That is a 33 to hit.
That is it.
Beautiful. That's damage. Oh, crap. Take off. Sorry. I got to reroll that without Hunter's Edge, because I'm not hunting prey on that one.
Oh. it doesn't carry to another creature of the same type? Or is it only after you defeat one or something like that you can...
I don't know that, actually, the specifics of that.
Okay.
I think there might be something variant-wise on that.
I gotcha.
But then you could easily have been like, well, one's male, one's female. Well, they're different. Let's see here. You can only have one creature. If you use Hunt Prey against creature when you already have a creature designated, the prior creature loses a designation. It doesn't specify something like... Yeah, okay. Doesn't specify.
All right.
So that's only 14 points of damage.
Okay.
So he's just going to swing again because he's freaking out. Man, that's a 20, so that's not on hit. Yes. And the last one definitely will. That's an natural 20.
Whoa!
But that is damn. A 30. Oh, wait.
So a miss, then, but so a regular hit.
Yes.
Okay, alright. Regular hit.
It's just a regular hit, okay. I was like, do we get card for 20?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that we... Yeah, because it's not a crit. Yeah, so right. Even with a natural 20, it goes to over. Yeah, so yeah. Anyway.
20 points of damage on this one, though.
And 20 points of damage.
Yep. And Vemir is going to attack the male.
All right.
He's flanking. Where is roll? Roll. Damn it. Again. 36. Yeah, 36 to hit.
That is a hit, my friend.
Taking all my good shit, man.
Vemir, chill out, Vemir.
Hey, at least somebody's doing good.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's taking all my good money. 25 points of damage.
All right. This is against the same one?
Against the male.
And this one goes against the male.
Yeah,
okay.
Because he's kind of was told to go after that one. So,
right.
He's okay. Spears him with his giant ass beak.
Alright.
Stop that sound.
Okay. Grimshaw, your turn.
Grimshaw, desperate to keep Kezra in this fight, calls out, "The last of my power I give you, be free."
And last focus point, word of freedom. Kezra's back in.
Stop feeling your will to.
Get your head in the game.
Get your head in the game.
And I strike out. Trying to think which one has taken more hits at this point, but I feel like they're kind of similar. So I'm going to strike out at the one that Vemir has been pummeling, which is the one to the north, which I believe is the male.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the male has been hit more, so.
Okay. Good instincts, Grimshaw. And that's a miss.
All right.
And with my last action, I'm actually going to take a 5-foot step back so that it'll allow Benson to walk up and be able to hit without
Without being at risk of hitting me.
You're also choking.
I'm also choking.
Oh, you're suffocating.
Oh, I'm suffocating.
Suffocating.
Yes. Wait. I don't know. I don't even know if I can do Word of Freedom then, because that's a verbal.
You can't.
That might be a verbal
but
thing.
Actually, no. It cleric concentrate, focus mental. So I guess I just thought of a word.
You think words.
I think words.
You thought of freedom and it happened.
I continue to suffocate.
Okay. All right. You continue to suffocate.
Yeah. I have many rounds because of my con score.
Because your con's very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir Benson Black.
Well, you're not going to need all those because Benson is stepping here and healing you.
Yay!
All right.
30 hit points, and I'm using my last action to swing.
All right.
Oh, my dear boy, I think you mean 36 hit points.
36 hit points.
You also have levels.
Yeah.
32.
There's a miss.
He's flanked.
He is flanked.
Yes, then it's hit. Sorry.
Yes!
So Vamir's a large creature, so.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Still rocking your D12s, right?
24 points of damage.
All right.
Oh, damn.
11 and okay. 7 on the die there.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to do this more often.
Okay. After Benson, it comes to Kezra.
All right. Kezra is going to try Blazing Bolts again. Fifth level Blazing Bolts. Let's go. Oh, my God. How could it be worse?
Oh, no.
25 and a 25. I rolled a 6 and a 6 this time instead of a 6 and a 7. Good.
Oh, I'm just saying, Doug, there's kind of a straight line here.
Yeah, I'm worried that their reflex is going to be so good that I'm better off attacking their AC. Even though their AC
not
seems
yet.
Pretty bad. Well, I mean, when I'm rolling 6s, it's not like I have a chance on a bad creature.
Kelly, the difference is Jake rolling versus you rolling. Think about it.
Oh. Well, now it's very clear I have a bad pattern.
All right.
He's just going to raise his stupid shield.
All right. Okay. Comes to the female's turn. Female warbling song. You can guess what's going to happen on her turn every time.
Take that damn bird. Natural 20. Suck it, Jake.
Yes.
immune.
Now it's just going to be Elfwood that's confused every turn.
Yeah, that's fine. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, wow. Actually, this time Elfwood got a 32 and
success.
And Vamir failed. So.
And Vamir failed. Yep. Okay.
Didn't crit fail. Just... failed.
Regular
fail.
Yeah, okay, so 25. He is confused for one round. Okay. And then she is going to run here to be in between the two champions.
Sweet.
The male is going to... I can't do that. You know what? He'll do Warbling Song as well. Why not?
Fucker.
Mark's like, I feel targeted at this point.
Oh, you know what, Jake? Natural 20.
That's
boom.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Birds are doomed.
They don't know that we're immune, so they legally need to keep doing it every
time. Yeah, so they keep going.
Let's see, what's Vamir good at this point? Well, he's already confused. So.
He's already confused, so, I mean, well, I guess you could fail and attack yourself immediately
right.
Based on the crit fail condition. But
no, I'm trying to get... What am I fucking roll? Oh, 37 on this one. That was an 18
okay.
on the die. So.
Yeah, so success. In which case, it is going to... what does it want to do? I think it is going to just... I think the male is going to step up... I think it's going to step up to be with its mate. So it's going to be right in between the two champions again. No, you don't. No, wait, that was two actions to try that, and it takes a 5-foot step. No, I think it's going to just. I think it's going to attack Vamir.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah. That is a total of 35.
That's just a hit.
Just a hit.
I will retributive strike that. Ooh. So Vamir's going to get another attack.
This could be... Yes. Yes, that is coming to fruition now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, dang. That's nuts.
It took me a moment. I was like, but it's at negative five,
minus
right?
five, yes. But, yeah. He's, yeah. But he's also flanking.
Yeah, it's at minus five, but...
it's definitely a mess. So.
Okay. So let's deal with this the damage first. So 29 points of damage.
Reduced by...
13. Reduced by...
Reduced by 13.
13, okay.
And actually, at this point, that's when you see Elk use something that he hasn't used before, which is his, as a reaction, he uses Light Block and takes away pretty much the rest of the damage. So Vamir actually doesn't take anything, but you see, like, Elkwood staggers for a moment as he absorbs some of the damage.
Benson will roll a 34.
Okay, that is going to be a hit, yeah.
Only because of like D12.
I know, I'm loving this.
Yeah.
So good. 22 points of fucking damage.
All right.
I want dinner.
Let's see if you can get it. That was its turn. Elkwood.
Okay. So, Vamir passed the other one, so he is no longer confused, I guess, because it was like two in a row he was confused, and then he did the other one, and then passed that one.
I think he's still confused. He just didn't get extra confused.
Wait, he took damage. Roll the flat check.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, technically roll flat he check. Did, yes.
Yeah. So DC 11 flat check.
Let's see here, just DC.
Actually, that's a pretty clear distinction.
Fail.
He... Okay, never mind.
Okay. Yeah. Alright.
So, at this point, I will say... God, it can't get close because as soon as he gets into that range, it's just going to hop around. Actually, no. If I move here and attack, theoretically, you shouldn't be able to use that reaction.
Wait, where are you thinking of moving?
Just one step up.
Because
no one would be adjacent within hitting distance.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, okay. So we just have to tech. Okay, so we can actually. I just won't be flanking with anybody. Yeah, so he takes an action to move, step up, and Bam Bam sticks down. Come on, baby. No, that's a mess. And okay. Swings again. Misses again. All right.
Okay. After Elkwood, it comes to Grimshaw.
Oh, technically, Vamir's turn.
Right. Oh, yeah,
so, what do you want?
Oh, yes. So, there's a lot of stuff happening here. I really think he would just go for you.
Okay.
So he is going to take a step up.
How dare he?
Well, he would have to take a step up, but
at that point, I guess he uses all of his actions. But okay.
Because he just has one action when he's not commanded, so he would just do an action to step.
Yeah, unless it's the the hunted prey. He only has one action, so that he can.
Did you hunt? Did you use hunted prey on yourself by chance?
No.
Damn it.
Sorry.
I'm almost
a real trust issues.
Don't trust anyone, even yourself.
Always know what yourself is doing. Alright. In which case, yeah, he would just take a step up to you.
That's it.
And that's it. Grimshaw.
Okay, we have to play 4D chess with this, so... I am going to take a step to the east so that I am not adjacent to an ally and the warbler.
Oh.
And then I am going to take a second action to strike
with the Morningstar Melania.
But I think we've got the strat down, though.
Ooh, baby, that's a nat 20. A nat 20.
All right, pick your crit.
Ooh, you know what? I want them to have a collapsed lung, so piercing.
I want them to suffer the way
reeling. The target is flat-footed till the end of its next turn.
Yes!
That's good.
That's, and it's double damage.
Yep.
Alright.
I believe there is an off guard. There it is.
This is going to be, I'm calling it right now, max damage. Or not. Alright. 30 points of piercing damage.
Ooh, okay. Alright.
Do I try to take advantage of that sweet, sweet off guard, or do I let Kezra have a little fun? I'm going to spread the love, and I'm going to use my last action to take us. Let's see, Kezra goes after me, and then Benson will go at another point. Man, just trying to think through these movements is bonkers.
Look it straight in the face and start dicing an onion.
I think if I may, I am going to move kind of across the battlefield so that I'm flanking with Elkwood with
on the
other
on
one.
On the male.
On the male, yes. Because the female's flat-footed until the end of its next turn, so that one should just be an easy target.
Okay. All right, Benson.
I guess I'm going to keep wailing on this bird I've been wailing on.
All right, so you're going to keep hitting the male.
Ooh. Is that the one between me and Vermeer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. For some reason, I keep getting mixed up.
Yeah.
Attack.
But that's one of the things in like Pokemon where like that they have like slight variations between the male and female.
I'm guessing a 25 doesn't hit.
Nope.
Second swing. No. I'm having so much fun right now. Third swing for the fuck of it. Nope. All right. Fuck that turn.
All right.
Fuck this game.
Great attitude.
Gezra, it's your turn. You are no longer subject to confusion.
Alright, do I put the dice in Jake's hand, which will inevitably go awful?
Jake's hand, please put it in Jake's hand. I can't believe you're asking.
I got a D20 right here. Got my elven blood.
You
D20.
All see Gezra's hands crackle with lightning. You've seen this before, but this time it is way more intense because he's not casting electric arc, he is casting chain lightning. And this gigantic lightning bolt fires out of him and hits the first one, and then, as long as it doesn't crit succeed, bolts to the next one.
Alright.
And then a bolt to Benson.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill everybody. I literally kill. It kills all the horses.
Anyone wearing metal, just.
It's gonna be a 37.
It's a regular success.
Oh, okay. Oh my god. Okay.
Maybe their reflexes are probably insane.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yep, they're pretty good. Second one, a little bit less. So two successes.
Okay,
two
the nice thing
successes.
About it is I figure they succeed, but when you're rolling 8 d12 damage, even half of that's probably going to be pretty good.
Yep,
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, baby. That was 63 damage, so it still does 31 damage to each of them.
Oh my god. Damn.
That is fucking disgusting.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Actually, that was a pretty good roll. 12, 8, 6, 6, 7, 10, 6, 8. So it was a really good, roll.
Wow.
Didn't roll below
god
6.
Okay. It comes to their turn with all of this damage going out. They're looking a little frazzled, and all of a sudden you see them sort of look at each other, and then they look at you all, and they get mad. They're like, And I'll see you guys next time.
Oh my god.
No. No. What you were supposed to say is, and they run off in the distance. No. I think that's what you meant to say.
They decide to die fucking.
They want this fuck spot in particular, and we're in from them.
Baby, this is our magical place. Who the fuck is this? Who are these guys?
Tyler's literally right there.
Hey there, punchers. Want to talk to you today. You guys ever been in that situation where you're going to a new D&D or tabletop role-playing group and you show up and you forget your dice and you're like, oh my gosh, guys, this is so embarrassing. I forgot my dice. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, you're not a real nerd. You don't have your own dice. You need to borrow dice. And they all throw dice at you. And it's really embarrassing. Well, you can avoid that situation entirely by heading over to greenleafgeek.com and using Dragon Punch Squad for a special discount. Make sure to head over there and get some new dice before they are all sold out and shop has closed up. See you in the next episode.